it's great to be back. Great to be away, but it's great to be back. And we were listening and hearing and being kept up to date with all the exciting news as we were away, and we had a great time, so thank you for your prayers. And this morning I want to talk about this subject here, going forward together. But first I've got a question to ask, and it's the second time this year I've asked this question. And the question is, what do you see? I have in mind, of course, the pavilion. We were hoping to exchange contracts, as Paul said last Friday. Hasn't happened yet, but we're confident that it should happen in the next day or two. And my hope and prayer for 2012 is that it is a year of conquest and breakthrough for each one of us. I mentioned that the other week, and I'm very happy to start with Riley's, the pavilion, if that is the first conquest and breakthrough which we run with. But I want us to be those which believe for things beyond what we can do in the natural and begin to see breakthrough in our own lives and in the church and conquer those aspects which have stood against us. But the question I'm asking at the moment for us all to consider is, what do you see? If you could put the next slide up, please, Sarah. Esther, thank you. And the next one, and the next one. What do you see when you look at Riley's, when you see the pictures of the old cinema or the snooker hall, or when you see the pavilion, home of LifeSpring Church? What do you see? What do you envisage? What emotions rise in your heart? You see, the building is not the vision. Amen? The building is not the vision, Esther. Our vision has never been to have a building. Esther, one more. Our building, our vision, is much bigger. It's to build church and to make a difference in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities, in Reading, in the UK, and even beyond. Our vision is to fill this town with cells, to see many souls saved and discipled. Some amens would be quite good. To see strong Christian families, to see great marriages, to see youth being impacted, to see the poor being loved and cared for. So the building isn't the vision, but it can help us facilitate the vision which God has given us. Next one, Esther, please. The building is not the church either. It's never going to be a church, because church is people. It's you and me. We don't go to church in the sense of going to a building. We only go to church in the sense of meeting with the gathered Christians. That's church. The church meet at Prospect School. The church will soon be meeting in the pavilion. Okay, so the building is not the church. And on the way to Bogota, we flew via Miami. And as we got off the plane, it was like waiting for exam results. We knew that the offering had been taken up. I wanted to hear the text. I wanted them to come and tell us, how much had been collected. But I was nervous with excitement, standing in that customs queue. And in America, it's awful. It's over an hour standing in this customs queue, and not meant to have phones on in the queue, but I couldn't wait. So I was just, turned it on, and the texts begin to come through. And it was like opening that envelope to see, have we passed those exams or not? I was thinking, have we raised enough money to complete? Are the church really behind this project? Will we have enough to complete on the day? And then we saw the figures. And what a great day. And what incredible generosity. And I've heard that people have put their savings in, money being saved for a car and for a future, put into the offering fund. Children emptying their purses. Young people still at school putting in £250. Others who've given so much in the past and now giving thousands of pounds extra too. I heard that the giving was spread 80% across the church, And that was so significant for me. It's not just the 20% putting 80% in, but 80% of the people were involved giving into this fund. And it really shows for me and helps me believe that we are really all behind this project and wanting to run with it. You see, God is no man's debtor. And I know even if financial reward doesn't come to us here and now, the sacrifice and generosity will have been noted in heaven. And that's what counts more than anything else. So why would people give so generously, so sacrificially? Because they can see something. They've got a vision. And it's beyond bricks and mortar. Our vision statement is building church to make a difference. And you know, I totally believe in the church. Next one, please, Esther. I love the church. I believe with all my heart the local church is the hope of the world. Sorry, it's next one, I think, Esther, thank you. People like you and me don't realize most of the time what incredible potential lies in our grasp. His spirit, his life, his love, his anointing in us can change everything. His kingdom, Andrew reminded us early on, his government, his power, his will is at hand. We need to grasp it sometimes and get hold of it and bring it into our lives so that we can express it to others. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And he's the one that says, I have all authority, therefore go and make disciples and I will be with you. I'll never leave you to the ends of the earth. Somebody else reminded us, it might have been in the prayer meeting, or it might have been Andy might have prayed it. There's power in his name to drive out demons, to heal sicknesses. There's power in the blood of Jesus. We've been reminded again and again over the last week, those of us in Bogota, to cleanse, to forgive, to conquer. And we have all of this in us and within our grasp. No wonder the local church is the hope of the world. Amen. His spirit, his life, expressed through people like you and me, can make a difference. One touch from the King changes everything. And when we change, our surroundings will change too. We have that incredible potential to carry his presence, his aroma, everywhere we go and make a difference for him. And that's what the church is called to be and to do. And this building will help facilitate this vision, this hope, this passion for the gospel, his gospel even more. Now, next one, Esther. We must realize owning the pavilion will change LifeSpring forever. I think some of us haven't quite twigged. This is going to make an enormous difference in our lives, in our experience of church and everything that we've been used to. No longer a house church meeting in a school with no advertising and hard to find. This building gives us profile, almost like no other church building in Reading. The location, the size, the opportunities coming to us, we need to get ready. And I'm amazed that the Lord is entrusting us with this incredible responsibility and privilege, but he is, and we need to say, yes, Lord, we're going to take this, we're going to be ready. But it won't be the building, but it's ourselves, our relationships, our commitment, our love for God and each other, our vision to make a difference in Reading, to impact this town, to paint the town red with the blood of Jesus, to coin the phrase which Martin Smith sung about, didn't he? This is the foundation of LifeSpring. See, I just want to put this building in balance. I'm as excited as anybody, but church is people, and the people are going to use this building to the glory of God. The building must never replace these fundamental values. It's people, it's family, it's belonging, it's unity, it's vision. It's what the church is all about. Now, some have said to me, I don't like the name, the pavilion. I'm sorry. we can't call it LifeSpring Church because it isn't. We are. So I've said, well, come up with a better name then. And at the moment, I'm still waiting. But besides having history on our side, its original name, for the first time in many years, I like the New King James Version of Psalm 27, verse 5, Esther. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. It's the only version, to be honest, I can find the term pavilion in. Took a lot of digging, but I found one. I think we should insist the New King James Version is the Bible we use in the future. In the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. I hope people who are in trouble, who are lost, who have no hope, will come and find church in the pavilion and find a place of refuge, of help, of love, of mercy, of grace. A place where no judgments are made about their lifestyle and choices. A shelter where they can receive God's love through the people of God at LifeSpring. A place where maybe the hungry can be fed, the lonely befriended, the person in debt can find help, the struggling in their marriage or unwanted pregnancy can get advice. The church in the pavilion will be saying, come as you are. You're welcome here. That's my dream. That's my hope. I know that our hearts need to change a little bit more yet. But that's what we're taking on, church. The pavilion. A place of refuge and shelter. A covering. Or a temple, different translations allude to. But notice it's in his pavilion. It's his place. You see, we are only the hope of the world because he is in here. He in us is the hope of glory. He in us is greater than he that's in the world. It'll be his life, his touch, his presence, which changes everyone that comes into that place. And one other thought on this. And in his pavilion, his temple, I see extravagant worship and praise rising to him. I see a beautiful auditorium, light, stage, sound, and worship rising from the gathered church. Older people, younger people, people coming in off the street wondering what it's all about, students from the university, the single mum who was helped earlier in the week, the homeless man Andrew met at Cerdic, the young woman Albie met on Friday night as a street pastor and persuaded a taxi to take her home, even though she was well intoxicated. The alcoholic who came to the faith van for a sandwich and found love and concern and an invitation to church at the pavilion. All bringing worship, all bringing love, extravagant praise to him, to the Saviour of the world. A building to honour him, a building to glorify him, a building to make much of Jesus. Good vision. Thank you, Mark. I didn't catch it, but it sounded good. It's good. Thank you. Worship and praise has always been at the heart of LifeSpring. It always will be while I'm here anyhow, because it needs to be. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves, but as we lift him up, as we worship him, as we celebrate and dance, we lift Jesus up, and he says he'll draw all men to himself. Now, I'm sharing something of my dreams. I see much more. I've shared some of that before. But I want to ask, what do you see? Next slide, please, Esther. What would you like to see coming out of the pavilion? What are your hopes and dreams? That's why Paul mentioned that little sheet that Chloe has produced for us. How can you help us make a difference in Reading? I've had all sorts of dreams about what we can be doing, but I've realized unless I'm going to say yes, I'm going to be part of some of those dreams, they're not going to happen. And we could have all sorts of ideas out there, but unless you're going to say, and I can help in this area, it might not happen either. So think about it. Dream, like Marilyn said. Pray about it. What would you like to see? How can you help LifeSpring Church make a difference in Reading? You've got that opportunity to share it, so bring it back to Rob or Marilyn or the office or somewhere, and we'll hear what people are saying. We can't promise that everything everybody wants will be included, but we want it to be an expression of LifeSpring Church. It's about us, LifeSpring, coming to town. So what role can you play, and what can you give to make these dreams a reality? There'll still be challenges, by the way, ahead of us. Planning, more money, redevelopment. But church, it's time to catch his heart and dream. He's moving us to a new level. We need to respond and say, yes, you can count on me. I'm going to be part of this. As I said earlier, Project Pavilion will change LifeSpring forever. Question is, are we up for it? Yes. Hallelujah. One final thought. Goes on for a little bit, but one final thought. The title of my talk. I know you're getting a bit excited. Next slide, please, Esther. We need to go forward together. Unity in spirit and purpose is vital. Philippians 2. Then make my joy complete, Paul says, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. We heard from a very excited Marilyn while we were away. Got the feeling you might have heard from a very excited Marilyn while you were here too. I've noticed since we've come back, a very excited Marilyn. And one thing she said, and she said it earlier on, she said, I've never seen the church so united as on that Giving Sunday. You know, and I felt the same with regard to this building. So much excitement, so much agreement, so much unity. Even those which at one time or another were feeling a little bit cautious or uncertain, they began to see something, catch something, feel something, and together we've gone forward and have been going forward. To be honest, I've not noticed this with any other building we've looked at. I think it's significant. It's all very exciting. And I've been saying to the trustees, well, I'm one of them, saying to myself and the rest of us, you know, we don't want to just farm all the work that needs to be done out to the professionals. You know, I want you to have a part in this. It doesn't just make it a little bit cheaper, but you know, I want us to get our hands dirty and to help make this building ours. It's going to be fun. Cells, families, twos and threes, maybe at times 20 or so people being well supervised, down there helping transform the pavilion into a place fit for our King. Yeah, I don't want to just palm it out and we just arrive. I want to be part of that process. I hope you do too. I get the impression people do. Relationships will be built. Doing stuff together. A whole Saturday down there, you know, clearing up, painting, putting up plasterboard or whatever. You know, the simple stuff. Doing it together is going to be great for friendships. People that we might not have met before, we'll be just working alongside with. And we can be down there enjoying ourselves. But I want you to hear my heart. It is just a building. It is just a building. More importantly, is Paul's concern and mine. Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love. Next one, please, Esther. Being one in spirit and purpose. Not just about a building, but about what God has called us to as a church together. Nearly 10 years ago, we first heard about this amazing church in Bogota, 250,000 people at the time, and G12. 9 years ago, I remember talking it through as leaders. Can we embrace this vision? Can we take it on? Could we lead LifeSpring into this? It seemed so radical. It seemed so different from what our experience of church was before. But even by just going to Wembley a couple of times, we'd seen something, we'd heard something, we realized there was something here that we felt the Lord was leading us into. And the leaders at the time said, yes, we've got to do this, we've got to go down this journey. So about 9 years ago, we took that bold and challenging step. It felt so radical. Of course, compared to most churches, to be honest, in 21st century, it is radical. Well, Western culture. Compared to the New Testament church, it's normal. But it felt like there was a price to pay, a cost to pay. And then over the years, we began to transition. And many of our friends over in the country, for one reason or another, left G12. And to be honest, we nearly did too. At one time, Jackie kept me in just, you know. Other times, John's kept me in just. We were not used to so many disappointments, but we tasted something. We'd seen something. And everything else just felt second best to us because we felt that, well, this is what the Lord is calling us and bringing us into. While in Bogota, someone asked me this year, said, what is it about G12 that you like? And you know, there's so many answers I could have given. Family, and it is impressive, the focus on family and the emphasis. Faith, amazing faith, incredible faith. Anointing, holiness, conquest, multitudes, disciples. But as I thought about it over the dinner table, I said, what draws me or keeps me with G12 is Pastor Caesar. You could, in theory, do everything else without him anyhow. But he does carry something special. His life, his marriage. Lost my point. What was I doing? Talk about Pastor Caesar, wasn't I? Yeah. His life, his marriage and family, his love, his faith, his determination, his diligence, his commitment to Europe and the UK. The smallest conferences in the world, he comes here year after year. But also an anointing from heaven to take a vision from what was once a little church up in the Andes across the earth. Presidents, cities, nations have been impacted by G12 across the world. One non-G12 pastor from the States, big church in the United States, he said in his opinion, Pastor Caesar is among the top most 5 influential Christian leaders in the world. And he's our father in the vision. And I feel honored to be associated with Pastor Caesar. And by the way, he said he'd like to come and open our building for us as well. And I'm thrilled with that too. But while we were there, Lawrence Kong, some of you know Lawrence Kong, pastor from a big church in Singapore, he loves Pastor Caesar too. He loves G12, totally committed to the vision. But he brought a challenge to Bogota, to the conference, about disunity. Too many broken relationships, not enough fellowship and working together with other non-G12 churches. And in the towns and cities, there's a tendency that some of the G12 churches have kept themselves a little bit separate. And he brought this word. He said, G12 will never take, you'll never take your cities, you'll never take these nations unless you connect with other churches who are not part of G12 too. And of course, we know that and we agree with that. And I thank God for the relationships we have in Reading, working with churches across Reading as a G12 church, but to be part of what God's doing in Reading. And Pastor Caesar brought this, Lawrence Kong, he brought this word. And it was a challenge. And he said, I know that G12 hasn't intended to be divisive, but it has caused division and there has been separation. And he says, it's time to humble ourselves. It's time to come in humility and seek restoration and reconciliation that we can work together to paint the town red with the blood of Jesus. At the end of his talk, he asked Pastor Caesar and Pastor Claudia to come up to the stage. And then he asked the non-G12 pastors who were there from Colombia to come up to the stage too. And they wept and they embraced and they said sorry for all the division, thank you, for all the division which had been caused over the years. Pastora Claudia said she didn't stop crying for 12 hours. She was cut to the heart And we saw them embracing and forgiving and bring and reconciling and expressing repentance. It was a very powerful and significant moment. And my prayer is that that ripple will spread through the world. Because it needs to. Because as much as I love Pastor Caesar and the vision he's given us, we can't do it by ourselves. We need to join hands with others. And here we are trying to do that. And I thank God for that. But as we take on the challenges of this building, you see, we need to be totally one too, in spirit and in purpose. Not just for a building, but for what God's calling us to together. And I'm really asking everyone, but especially those who've had concerns or difficulties about G12 in the past, for the sake of Reading, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of unity, for the sake of souls, to put them down. And let's just embrace the future together. I'm sure Jackie and I have made mistakes. We've made mistakes in implementation, in communication, maybe in expectations. We've not always lived at the level we've aspired to live at. We've been really, really hurt. More hurt than some of you realize, I think, in the past. And sometimes I realize that there's still a residue of that, might still find a bit of an expression. But we've chosen to forgive, to release, to be reconciled as much as possible. And most of you don't know the efforts we've made in that either, towards those who've left us. But more importantly, we need to know that as we go forward, we are one in spirit and purpose together. I felt sometimes held at arm's length by some of you since we've embraced G12. You're still friends, but there's not like that friendship we once had. Others have kept their views to themselves and their friends. And in so doing, you're withholding blessing from yourselves, but you're holding blessing from the rest of us too. But Psalm 133 says, "The blessing flows when we dwell in unity. The oil flows from the head all the way down when we dwell in unity." And he commands blessing, life forevermore. So Life Spring, it's time to put down all arguments against G12, against Pastor Caesar, against Jackie and myself. This is our vision. Priestly families. Great marriages. Disciples. Souls, cells, radical youth, on fire for Jesus, building church to make a difference. It's impossible without his anointing. But it's pretty hard if we're not committed to the same vision and purpose too. So it's an appeal, really, as we go forward to this new phase of church life with, somebody said already, one of the biggest church buildings in the town. Make my joy complete. One in heart and spirit. One in vision together. Expressing his love. Working together. Painting the town red with the blood of Jesus. I am so proud of this church and what we've achieved over the years and more and recently. I think you're the best church in Reading. Amen. I know I'm a bit biased. But for his sake, and for the sake of the lost in Reading, who are just waiting for us to say, "Yes, I'm sorry," together we'll make a difference. I'd like us to put down any hindrances and obstacles and commit to going forward. And to paint this town red together with the blood of Jesus. And see the pavilion used for the purpose God probably originally intended it for, 80 years ago, however long ago it was, to be to the glory of God. As the people of God use it to the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's with those thoughts in mind, I've asked that we break bread together. Normally it's next week, but I'd like to break bread this week. Originally I said to Jackie, I'd like everybody to have the opportunity. I'd like the opportunity to just to embrace and share with everybody in the church that feels they want to really commit with us on this journey together. Jackie said, that's going to take too long. There's too many people there. I've asked for the leadership team just to come and share with us in this. But I want us to break bread together as an expression of our love, our commitment, and our unity. In fact, I just want to read a scripture from Ephesians 4, and then we'll do that. Ephesians 4, verse 1 says this, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." Okay, each one of us hear that. "Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is just one body, one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future." So this is an opportunity, church. So we enter this new season together to break bread. It's non-alcoholic juice. Drink the wine together. Symbol of our love, our commitment, and our unity. Opportunity for us to put any reservations down. You can just do it now. Just do it now. Any differences? Just put them aside. If we need to forgive, we'll forgive. If we need to draw a line, we're going to draw it. If we need to repent or ask for forgiveness, we're going to do it. LifeSpring, whatever it takes, that we might get this building and go forward with all that God's got for us, united in spirit and purpose. One church, one vision, one Lord. Powerful combination. So I'd like us to share bread and the wine together. Don't know if we have any music in the background or up on the stage or something, John, whatever you have in mind. Just going to ask Andrew, John and Jill and Andy to come, please. And I want to break bread with you guys first, and then I'm going to ask us to share that with the whole church as they've